Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Thursday, November 16th, 2023. Let the record reflect the time is 2 p.m. Today we have present Representative Carrick, Representative Prox, Representative Wright, Representative Ruffridge, and myself, Chair Sumner. The staff that will be assisting us today are Jordan Wright with House Records, Johan Timmers with the LIO, and Clark Pickford, my staff and committee aide to House Labor and Commerce. Thank you for joining us today for the interim committee meeting in House Labor and Commerce. We have one item on the agenda, which is House Bill 119, Cannabis Tax, a bill by request of House Rules. On October 3rd, we set an amendment deadline for HB 119, and we will be discussing those amendments today. We have 10 amendments before us. In attendance today, we have co-chairs of the Governor's Task Force here to answer questions if committee members have any. Ryan Toonseth and Brandon Emmett, thank you for being here. Before we get started with amendments, I'm going to invite Cody Rice, staff to the House Majority, to come to the table and give a brief overview and refresher of HB 119. If you could put your name on the record, and please begin, Mr. Rice. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Cody Rice, staff to the House Majority. I wanted to provide a brief overview of three of the key points that we discussed at the last hearing. With the chair's permission.
Go ahead.
First point that we discussed at the last committee hearing was that cannabis tax revenue growth has flattened and rolled over. The latest Department of Revenue data shows a year-over-year decline in calculated cannabis tax revenues. This is a trend that I expect to continue absent changes in tax structure. Second, under all four scenarios that I modeled, in the model that's publicly available on BASIS, this CS would generate more revenue than my expectations for the status quo. Third, and finally, the specter of federal legalization hangs over the entire state of Alaska. If that were to happen, Alaska's current cannabis market would be highly uncompetitive versus outside vendors. That concludes my summary of events from the prior hearing. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take for the amendment process.
Thank you. And let the record reflect that Representative Fields joined us at 2.02 p.m. and Representative Sadler joined us at 2.03 p.m. Are there any questions for Mr. Rice? Representative Sadler, do you have a question? Doesn't appear so. Okay, thank you, Mr. Rice. We're now going to jump into amendments for HB 119, starting with amendment number one, which will not be offered. So we will move to amendment number two from Representative Carrick. Representative Carrick.
I move amendment two.
Okay. Is there any objection? I'll object for... Okay.
Yes.
Representative Prox. Representative Carrick, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes. So amendment number two changes the frequency of statements required from monthly to quarterly statements. So currently, cultivators in Fairbanks or the Kenai Peninsula or Wasilla or elsewhere have to go to Anchorage on a monthly basis to deal with their statements. So this amendment reduces the burden on business owners by only having to go to Anchorage on a quarterly or four times per year rather than a monthly basis. This was a recommendation from the governor's task force, and it also came as a request from a constituent who sells and cultivates marijuana products in my district. It's a major burden on our businesses here in the interior to have to drive and head down to Anchorage so frequently, and would just like to see an opportunity for business owners to still meet their obligations to provide statements, but to do so on a more reasonable time frame basis.
Okay. Representative Prox, would you like to speak to your objection?
No, I think that explanation addresses my concerns. I agree with Representative Carrick that a monthly reporting would be sufficient. Excuse me, quarterly reporting would be sufficient. Okay. So I remove my objection.
Anyone else have any comments on the amendment? Okay, wrap up if you want, Representative Carrick.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Please call the roll on amendment number 2.
Representative Sadler.
On amendment
2. Yes. On amendment 2, Sadler votes yes.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Chair Sumner.
Yes. And so with a count of 6 yeas and 1 nay, amendment number 2 is passed. Amendment number 3, Representative Carrick.
Chair Sumner, can I request that we roll Amendment 3 to the bottom of the list?
Amendment number 3 will be rolled to the bottom of the list. Amendment number 4, Representative Carrick.
I move Amendment 4.
I'll object.
Okay. Representative Carrick, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, thank you. So Amendment number 4 comes after having had a chance to tour several cultivation facilities, both in my district in West Fairbanks, out in the Rosie Creek area, and then also in Fairbanks generally. And plant tagging was actually one of the most commonly brought up issues, largest burdens by business owners. So currently, cultivators are required to tag each individual plant. And this is not only unnecessary, but it also causes a pretty significant financial and time burden to these business owners. Each tag for these plants costs a couple of dollars, and businesses can have a few thousand plants. So it's a pretty cumbersome process, and it is also a costly process. And when I spoke with some other state departments on how agriculture in Alaska works, generally speaking, other agricultural products, whether it be potatoes or peonies in the state, only require tagging on a per crop basis. So the tagging requirement is largely for public health reasons. It allows, in the event of a recall, the opportunity to recall all items of a product that may have been contaminated or affected. And essentially, tagging on a per-crop basis allows for all of those public health measures to be observed and to take place adequately and accurately. So by moving to a per-crop or a per-plant, sorry, a per-crop basis rather than a per-plant basis for tagging, we're not in any way compromising the public health importance of having a tracking system, and we are leading to a really significant alleviation of costs for cultivators. And I'll leave it open to questions.
Representative Ruffridge, would you like to speak to your objection?
Thank you, Chair Sumner. My objection was purely to see if there was opportunity for the members of the task force and or industry members to share their thoughts on Amendment Number 4, if they had any thoughts on that. Please, I'd like to hear from them.
We can hear from Ryan Tunseth on this one. Mr. Tunseth, go ahead and put your name on the record, and if you had some comments on this.
Ryan Tunseth. I'm the president of the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association, also co-chair of the task force. Thank you, Chair Sumner, and members of the House Labor Commerce Committee for having me here today. The only thing that I would add to this is that, you know, the Marijuana Control Board met today and yesterday, and during yesterday's meeting, this item was discussed as well about switching from an individual plant tag to a batch tagging system. And what we learned out of that discussion was that there are some issues with the contract with Metric, who is the seed to sale provider to the state of Alaska, and that if they switched from a single plant tag to a batch plant tag, the price of the tag was going to go from 25 cents a tag to $25 per tag, and that for them to implement that change in the Metric system would be a $200,000 change in the contract. And so there were certainly some issues that arose out of that that certainly seemed was sort of holding licensees over on this one. It's still certainly something we would like to see because it's a tremendous cost to cultivators. There are some cultivators that pay upwards of $10,000 a year just in plant tags, and so that it's certainly something that we support and want to see. But I did want to let you know that there were some other issues that arose out of that Marijuana Control Board meeting, and certainly if there were more questions, I would reach out to Joan Wilson, the director, or Nick Miller, the chair of the Marijuana Control Board.
I see Representative Sadler has his hand up.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'd like to ask the sponsor of the amendment. How do you define a crop, and how do you limit? How do you know that one tag is covering a certain number of plants? Or is there any specific number of crop? Is there a definition of crop anywhere?
Representative Kerr?
Yeah, thank you. I think that question's probably better suited to Ledge Legal. But there is, to my understanding, a pretty standard definition of what a crop looks like and how that would work. And it would be very similar because we provided the example to Ledge Legal of other agricultural products in Alaska and add them to ask them to draft this amendment in a way that was consistent with how the rest of agricultural products and cultivation in Alaska is tagged and how that process works. So I'm not familiar with the definition of a crop, but my understanding is that this definition has, you know, side rails in place that help to provide that clarity.
And
follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Oh, go ahead, Representative Sadler.
Thank you. I would have more comfort with this amendment if we do have a specified definition or a reference to a definition elsewhere in statute. It's a bit of a pick and a poke at this point, though. Thank you.
Representative Brox.
Yes, thank you. I'm pretty sure I support this amendment, but I am wondering what the original rationale was for tagging individual plants. If somebody is available that would know the history of that, I would appreciate understanding why it was set up individual plants in the first place.
Why don't we go ahead and hear from Brandon Emmett. Mr. Emmett, please approach, put your name on the record, and if you address that question.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. For the record, Brandon Emmett, co-chair of the Task Force on Recreational Marijuana and Hemp. Through the chair, Representative Brox, I was one of the original members of the Marijuana Control Board. I was an industry representative. And the reason for the individual plant tagging was to prevent diversion. During the first iteration of the rules, we had an abundance of caution. We wanted to make sure that the industry was well regulated there was a sentiment that if every plant was not tagged, that somehow marijuana would be grown in a legal facility and sold outside in the illicit market. But what we have seen with the current economic conditions is that generally diversion happens the other way, and that illicit marijuana after it's grown may come into the legal market, or some commerce exists completely outside of the legal framework. And therefore, many of us now believe that the tagging system is redundant and unnecessary because we simply have not seen the flow of individual plants from the legal market into the illicit market.
Okay, thank you. Follow up?
Go ahead, Representative Prox.
Yes, I wonder if you, through the chair, if you could tell me how the industry would handle this as far as identifying a specific crop, sort of to Representative Sadler's question.
Through the chair, Representative Fox. So generally, a crop is considered a group of plants that are propagated at the same time, grown to similar heights, and harvested at the same point of maturity. A limited grow might have 10 plants in a crop, and a standard grow might have 50. But with a single tag assigned to each crop, anyone in enforcement that knows about marijuana propagation could identify those crops by the time they were planted, their size, and then the time that they were harvested.
Okay, Representative Ruffin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Through the chair to Mr. Tunseth, I wanted to understand a little of what you had said regarding some of the information from yesterday. Sounds like, and I want to be clear, with Amendment 4, is there a potential that there would be a change that would have to take place at the cultivation facility to require additional cost to that facility, or some other sort of demand from that facility to make that change, to have the crop be tagged instead of the individual plant, that would be an increase in cost to that facility?
Chair Sumner, Representative Ruffridge, it's my understanding, and from listening to the discussions at the control board, that yes, there would be an increased cost, because this would be a change in the contract that the state has with Metric, and what Metric has told the state is that that change would cost roughly $200,000.
And just a follow-up to that, if I may, Chair Sumner.
Go ahead.
Who would bear that cost?
Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge, I would believe that cost would be bared by the industry. It would be passed along to the cultivators themselves.
Okay, Representative Prox. Representative Prox, I believe you're muted.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. It would appear that the only way that the state can recover cost is through the tax at this point. Would we need to consider some way for the state to bill the growers, I guess, for the additional costs for the tags?
Okay. Thank you, Representative Prox. Representative Carrick, and wrap up.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I think that we heard why this amendment is coming forward, and that's the idea that this is redundant and unnecessary. We all want to have appropriate oversight of, you know, marijuana cultivation. We want to understand if there is a public health issue, where that originated from, and be able to stymie that before it gets more severe. The per crop basis allows us to track on individual varieties, what the status of those crops are. And I know that the state has a contract with Metric currently, but I also believe that statute should reflect what we believe is necessary and useful for proper oversight of the industry. And while there would be an additional upfront cost initially for going to a per-crop basis, I also believe that the long-term impact is beneficial to the industry. And also we should, again, try to have statute that reflects what is actually useful, necessary, and efficient. And a per-plant tagging basis is none of these things.
Okay. There is objection. Please call the roll on amendment number 4.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
Pass.
Representative Ruffridge.
No.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Brox.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Chair Sumner.
No. And so amendment number 4 has failed with a count of 3 yeas and 4 nays. Representative amendment number 5, Representative Kerr.
I move amendment number 5.
Okay, is there objection?
I'll object, Sadler.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Representative Carrick, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, thank you. So amendment number 5 also comes from my pretty extensive touring of marijuana facilities this summer. And the issue of stores being able to sell back products to manufacturers or upstream sales was another really common thread that came up. Again, amendment number 5 is reflective of what is currently an option for other agricultural businesses in Alaska and other manufacturing businesses as well. So currently there's no allowed upstream sale of marijuana products. In other words, you can't sell from a retailer back to a manufacturer in the event that a product does not sell. And so what this amendment would do is it would just add language allowing product to be sold back to the manufacturer to be made into a different product in the event that it was not profitable. For example, cannabis flower could be turned into cannabis oil by a manufacturer or another product that may sell better in the retail environment. And so this would also allow cultivators to do the same as well for trim or for bud that's not selling to consumers on a retail basis. Again, this was something that came up quite frequently this summer when touring businesses, and one thing it does is it ensures that unused product does not get disposed of improperly. It provides another avenue for unused product to not get into the wrong hands and have potentially a use and not go to waste. And also just allows business owners more options for disposal of unused products.
Okay. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your objection?
My understanding of the industry is limited, but it seems to introduce a level of swirling that product be sold up and down the supply chain. And it just gives me some pause about how the value will be assessed, if there will be any effort to get rebates on the taxation paid at a different level. So to my mind, it just creates some swirling uncertainty, which leaves me uncomfortable. And I'll maintain my objection.
Representative Carrick, can wrap up?
Yes, thank you. So no additional wrap-up, just would mention that this is, again, something that other sort of agricultural businesses in Alaska are able to take advantage of, and it allows for just a little bit of greater flexibility and a little bit greater opportunity for products to find a use and to be sold in Alaska once they've been produced.
Okay, thank you, Representative Carrick. There is objection. Please call the roll on amendment number 5.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Carey.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Chair Sumner.
No. And with a count of 5 yeas and 2 nays, amendment number 5 has passed. Amendment number 6, Representative Carrick.
Thank you. I move amendment number 6.
Is there objection? I'll object.
Object.
Representative Carrick on amendment number 6.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I think Amendment 6 really gets to the crux of the conversation we've been having on this legislation for the last few months, which is the sales tax rate on the industry. And if you have a conversation with Alaska Marijuana Industry Association, candidly, they will talk to you about the sort of crisis point that the industry is been placed under, and a big burden on them is the current sales tax rate. And the sales tax rate of 10% in the CS was a pretty big shock to them. But when I look at the governor's task force on marijuana, I see that as to a large degree a happy medium in what many business owners would ideally prefer and what helps to preserve revenue for the state. And this amendment changes the rate from 10% to 4%. So it's a significant reduction, but this is also what we've been told is a potential happy medium to prevent individuals from going to the black market to purchase product. So a 4% rate allows us to continue to have a solid sales tax on the industry while also ensuring that individuals and customers are able to continue to purchase legal product. So I would encourage support for this compromise amendment.
Okay. I guess I will speak to my objection on this amendment. I would caution the committee members to consider the viability of the bill with the fiscal impact of the 60% reduction from the revenue neutral picture. Is there anybody else on amendment number 6? Okay. I maintain my objection. Please call the roll on amendment number 6.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
No.
Representative Ruffridge.
No.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Chair Sumner.
No. And with a vote of 2 yeas and 5 nays, amendment number 6 has failed. We'll move on to amendment number 7. Representative Carrick.
Thank you. I move amendment 7.
Okay. Without objection, amendment number 7 has passed.
Sorry, sir. I didn't push the button. Objection.
Okay. There is objection. Representative Carrick, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you. Amendment 7 is comes up as a result of just looking at the overall burden on the folks in the industry currently. So again, this comes from talking to cultivators and manufacturers, retailers. So this amendment would require the Department of Revenue to establish a marijuana tax collection facility in each judicial district. So four judicial districts across Alaska, meaning there would be required four tax collection facilities located around the state. Currently, there is only a collection facility in Fairbanks. So folks in Anchorage, rather. So folks in Fairbanks have to travel overhill and through Dale 7-plus hours to take their cash earnings down to Anchorage to pay their taxes. So rather than requiring a revenue collection facility in each municipality, which is something that some individuals would like to see but would be a very high cost to implement for the state, this is sort of a compromise. Requiring four collection facilities across the state allows each major region of the state to have an easier and more effective time paying their taxes and being able to accomplish that.
Okay. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, sir. I'm not sure what the cost would be to set up three additional sites. Assumably be state employees cited to do nothing more than collect quarterly or maybe monthly, I forget, I think it's monthly now, the tax payments. We are seeing efforts to try and reduce the tax rate, which would seem to indicate a reduction in revenue. So I think we're trying to increase costs and reduce the revenue generated. That just seems to be the wrong direction. So I maintain my objection.
Okay. Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Question for the maker of the amendment. One is a housekeeping item. With the previous change to the bill, one of the previous amendments, wondering if the language in proposed number five would be changed to collect quarterly statements and payments from retail marijuana stores. So that would be the cleanup question. Secondly, I didn't know if there was opportunity during the amendment process to get response from Department of Revenue on potential for what the cost of this would be, as well as what their availability to implement this would be.
Representative Carrick, did you want to address that question, and then I take a brief audience?
Yes, thank you. I actually think that Representative Ruffridge just brought up a great point, which is that with the adoption of Amendment Number 2, individuals would be required to travel quarterly, is my understanding, as opposed to monthly. So that does alleviate quite a bit of burden, but we're still talking about, at the end of the day, individuals in Fairbanks, which is a huge metropolitan area in the state of Alaska, having to make a 7-plus-hour drive four times a year to do their required business. And very few businesses in the state of Alaska have such a requirement or such a burden placed on them. So I still believe that there's a lot of value and merit in this amendment. But yes, with the adoption of Amendment 2 earlier in this hearing, we have alleviated some of that burden, is my understanding.
Okay. Brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. Representative Ruffridge, doesn't appear that we will be able to have anybody from Department of Revenue on for this meeting. The question is...
Thank you, Chair Sumner.
Representative Prox.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I support the idea. My basic view on this is that I am more concerned about keeping the marijuana market above board. And this obstacle, the current obstacle of having to go to Anchorage with really large amounts of cash. It's a cash industry right now because of federal regulations. Poses a, I would think, potential substantial risk of somebody getting robbed on their way to the state with a sack full of cash. And in Fairbanks, that's, well, everywhere remote from Anchorage, that's a problem. And it is a problem in remote villages. They are faced, I suppose, with safety considerations aside, they are faced with the expense of just traveling from somewhere remote to Anchorage to make their payment. And so this reduces the risk to the owners, safety risk, it reduces their business costs, and it would make the legal market more competitive with the illicit market. And so I think we should go ahead and pass this. It still has another committee to go through, I believe. And so if the, I guess we'd go to finance or wherever, but we can get this information from the Department of Revenue, but it should be argued from the point of why are we making it inconvenient, not why are we causing more money for the state. My interest is in keeping the legal market legal. Thank you.
Okay, and wrap up, Representative Carrick.
Thank you. I agree with Rep. Prox's comments. My interest is similar. I want to keep the legal market functioning and thriving and have a little bit of equity between the requirements that the state of Alaska and our statutory requirements place on businesses and those placed on marijuana businesses. And so that's why this amendment is being brought forward. And I acknowledge that there would be a cost for the Department of Revenue to establish three additional tax collection facilities, but I would also argue that, again, our business is to hopefully try and help commerce continue to thrive in the state of Alaska for industries that are operating legally and doing their best to do well, and that's what this amendment seeks to accomplish.
Okay, there is objection. Please call the roll on amendment number 7.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Fields. Representative Ruffridge.
No.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Chair Sumner.
No. And by a vote of 3-3, 3 yeas and 3 nays, the amendment has failed to pass. Move on to amendment number 8, Representative Prox.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Amendment number 8 simply repeals the language in statute that establishes a designated fund for the revenue that is generated from marijuana taxes. And the reason I think that that's important, it's my basic objection to designated funds. The legislature should consider and review the effectiveness of any program year to year. And if the alternative to the prevention would be, as an example, stricter enforcement of illicit sales. I don't have the data right now to say that would be more effective, but we don't have the data to say that it wouldn't be more effective. So we should be discussing that on a year-to-year basis. What is the best way to discourage both youth consumption of the product and illicit consumption of the product? And we shouldn't just commit to one strategy or another. So I encourage your vote.
Is there any objection to Amendment Number 8? And Representative Brox, please start with I move amendment blank future.
Oops. Speak to Thank you.
If there is objection. Is there any objection? Okay.
See, I'll object.
Representative Kerr. Okay. Representative Brox, you spoke to your amendment for objection. Do you have anything you'd like to say after objection?
No, I'll just wait and see if there's any questions.
Okay. Representative Kerr, would you like to speak to your objection?
I actually objected just to ask a question of Representative Prox, and my understanding is that there are potentially several recipients of the marijuana treatment program funds, and in particular, I know that the Alaska Children's Trust is a recipient. So do you have any thoughts or comments on what fund source may be able to replace funds that they use for programming around this, or is the idea to just delete the funds and the program and not replace them elsewhere? So just curious on a clarifying question.
I don't know that this amendment would necessarily delete the program. It just does not designate funds for any particular program. So if somebody is doing something that the legislature seems to think is effective, then I would guess that that program would go on. What would happen is these funds would just go into the general fund and be appropriated during the normal process, budgeting process.
Okay.
This is Zach. Could I ask a question, please?
Go ahead, Representative Fields.
Thanks. Maybe I'm missing something. Have we heard input from, I guess, stakeholders who would be affected by this amendment? I have not seen any. I guess I'm having trouble kind of thinking through and feeling confident in the impacts before I vote right now. Maybe the amendment sponsor or the chairman could speak to that to the extent there's something more I might be able to learn. Thank you.
Representative Fields, I don't believe we've received any written comment on this. However, my office, I believe, was contacted by the Alaska Children's Trust in some form, and they were opposed.
Thank you. Appreciate the information.
I'm not sure that they had eyes on it necessarily. Anybody else? No? Okay, Representative Carrick, Representative Prox and wrap up.
Well, just a quick one. My focus on this is not to pass judgment on one program or another at this point. It is to move the funds into the general fund and then have the discussion of effectiveness of programs annually in the budget process. Everyone should be competing from an equal starting point. If somebody else wants to try something different, we should be open to that. We shouldn't be prejudiced to an existing program simply because it exists. Thank you.
So there is objection. Please call the roll on Amendment Number 8.
Representative Fields.
No.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Carrot.
Pass.
Representative Carrot, the chair votes last. Please vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Chair Sumner.
No. And so with a vote of 5 yeas and 2 nays, amendment number 8 has passed. Excuse me. Briefities. On the record. Sorry. That is correct. With a vote of 5 yeas and 2 nays, amendment number 8 has passed. Amendment number 9, Representative Prox.
I won't be offering amendment number 9 at this time.
Okay. Amendment number 9 will not be offered. Amendment number 10, Representative Carrick.
I move amendment 10.
Is there objection? Okay. Without objection, amendment number 10 has passed.
Sorry, could... Mr. Chairman, sorry, I couldn't push the button fast enough. I will object for the purpose of discussion. I'd just like to hear a little bit more about what possible benefits lengthening the registration and background check period is going to offer.
Okay. Representative Carrick, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Sumner. Amendment number 10, much like the quarterly statements amendment that was passed earlier in this hearing, this amendment would reduce the burden on business owners for license renewal. So bar owners, as a comparison example, already have biannual license renewal. And this amendment brings parity to the marijuana industry, changing us from a yearly license renewal to a biannual license renewal. And fingerprinting is also required for marijuana business owners. And so this amendment changes the fingerprinting requirements from every 5 years to every 6 years to accommodate that new 2-year license renewal cycle if we were to pass this amendment. So in other words, adding parity for the industry and also helping to streamline the process by updating fingerprinting to the same schedule. So this was another request from the Governor's Task Force on Marijuana and was also requested by the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association. Again, the idea is to just bring parity to this industry with other industries in Alaska. And I'll let it be open for questions.
Okay. Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your amendment or your objection? Excuse me.
Objection. Thank you, sir. Well, I have heard the maker of the several amendments express the view that parity with other industries is desirable. I would note for the record that the marijuana industry is a new industry in Alaska, and it's by initiative changed from something illegal to something that is legal at the state level, but still illegal at the federal level. So sometimes there is a potentially thin membrane between what is legal in the marijuana trade and what is illegal. And so I would opine that a little tighter schedule of back registration and background checks is not excessive. As the industry matures, it might be appropriate to ease that. But at this point, I think the schedule is probably appropriate, and I will maintain my objection.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in favor of this. I did tour a number of establishments, marijuana establishments, growers, retailers, and I was frankly impressed at their conscientious efforts to control their business. They all were very conscious about the about not letting somebody who is under 21 purchase the products. They were aware of some of the scams that are available, if you will, and they were really helpful to their customers as far as answering questions and I guess making sure that the customer did not have a bad experience. That is, that if they weren't familiar with using marijuana, start with a lower potency first and work your way up. Don't take the oils. Be careful if you're using consumable or edibles, because the effect is delayed. And I just honestly was impressed at how well these businesses were run. So I think I have enough confidence to let them go to a biannual renewal cycle. And I think that saves the state some time and expense, and also local governments. If we do see problems in the future, and frankly, I'm not aware of any, but if we do, then we can take another look at it. But this brings them on parity with really kind of similar establishments, alcohol establishments.
Okay. And Representative Sadler, your hand is up. Did you have a comment?
Oh, sorry. Pushing buttons frantically before. No, hand is down. I maintain my objection for the comments. Okay.
Representative Kerr can wrap up.
Thank you. Yes, and just to address those comments, I mean, the Alaska voters did pass by initiative and legalize marijuana in the state, and we do have a new, arguably, definitely young industry, but it's also a pretty thriving industry and has the potential to continue to thrive. Alaskan consumers want the ability to have this industry to continue to grow in many cases, and like Representative Prox, after spending time with retailers, cultivators, and manufacturers throughout the interim this year, I've been extremely impressed with the degree of professionalism and quality of business ownership in Fairbanks, and I know that exists elsewhere around the state as well. So I think establishing parity is really important. It's a way of helping to eliminate some of those burdens and keep the industry going while also still maintaining appropriate oversight. And I think that this amendment strikes that balance, and hope that folks can support it.
Okay, there is objection. Please call the roll on amendment number 10.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
No.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
Yes.
Chair Sumner.
Yes. And with a vote of 5 yeas and 2 nays, amendment number 10 has passed. Amendment number 11 will be rolled. Amendment number 3, Representative Carrick.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I move amendment number 3.
Is there objection?
Object.
Okay, Representative Carrick, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you. So this amendment takes us back to, again, the heart of the issue, which is the sales tax rate included in the legislation, and changes from the current sales tax rate of 10% to a compromise value of 6%. So I do think that this is what we've all been talking about and debating throughout the summer and the fall months. And again, just going back to 10% in the CS being a real shock to the industry, and wanting to ensure that folks are not having to go to the black market to get product and are able to participate in Alaska's legal market. We want to encourage folks to produce their marijuana products locally, in so much as they're utilizing these products, and a 6% tax rate helps to thread the needle between the need for state revenue and also the need to continue the industry and have consumers purchasing their product in these retail stores. So I would encourage members to support this. I think that this is still a pretty high tax burden, certainly higher than what the industry was looking for initially, but that's to be expected. And I do think that this presents a reasonable compromise value that we should be able to get behind.
Okay, Representative Sadler, would you like to speak to your objection?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, the rest of the CS in Section 1 provides for a 75% reduction, if my math is correct, of the excise tax from $50 per ounce to $12.50 an ounce, and recovers some of that with the sales tax. So without actually seeing the analysis of what the numbers and the actual volume of sales, it just seems like we might be giving away too much. So I think the 10% sales tax is not inappropriate, so I will maintain my objection to number 3.
Okay, Representative Prox.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I support the amendment number 3, the 6% rate. I think it is certainly debatable, and I agree with the spirit of trying to maximize the revenue. But in, I believe it's Bethel, the local retail sales tax is 15%. So this, even at this, it's a pretty high sales tax. And at some point, you, in any tax, you raise it high enough and you start to affect the market. And if it's just reduction in sales, that's one thing. I don't know that I'd object to that. But what it does is it, in Bethel, as an example, it's still at this rate, there is a strong incentive to participate in the illicit sale of marijuana. And if it was at the current, in the current bill without this amendment, it's up to 25%. So I agree with Representative Carrick that this is a reasonable compromise, probably the best we can do at figuring out the ideal tax rate at this point.
Okay, anyone else? Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I was wondering, I don't know if there's anyone in the room, potentially Mr. Rice, who had done some of the initial modeling for tax rates, just to talk through, you know, what the potential is. I know it's hard to put exact numbers on something that will be implemented so far into the future, but just if there was a possibility of having just a general overview of essentially the options that are before us, which are 10%, 8%, and 6%. If that would be okay, Chair Sumner, if he has that information, it would be great to hear.
Sure. Mr. Rice, please put your name on the record. If you could address Representative Ruffridge's question.
Cody Rice, staff to the House Majority. Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge, in the model that I provided in the last committee hearing, there are four different scenarios. Under three of the four scenarios that I provided, moving to 6% actually generates more revenue versus the status quo.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Rice.
Okay, and wrap up, Representative Carrick.
I think that last point really helps to illustrate the value of this amendment. Thank you.
Okay, there is objection. Please call the roll on amendment number 3.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Prox. Representative Prox.
Sorry, yes.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Carrick.
Yes.
Representative Fields.
No.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
No.
Chair Sumner.
Yes. And with a vote of four yeas and three nays, amendment number 3 is passed. Amendment number 11 will not be offered. We stand adjourned. The time is 3:01 p.m. Thank you.